And finally, an extended weather for all you weekend gardeners who are tuned our way for the sod show. It will remain dry and raw today with highest temperatures of 16 to 19 degrees. Tonight, rain will be heavy and persistent at times, continuing mild with lows of 12 to 14 degrees. And tomorrow, Saturday morning, we will have outbreaks of rain, drier, brighter conditions in the afternoon and highs of 17 degrees Celsius. And that's the news on Dublin City FM.
Dublin news for Dublin people. Dublin City FM.
The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show. Hey Peter, did you hear the weather forecast?
The Sod Show with Brian and Peter. Hi Brian, how are you? Yes, etc.
Okay.
I heard the weather forecast, very nice.
Thanks to Jean for Jean, including the gardeners for the weekend in the weather forecast. And if you're listening out, it's not going to be plain sailing through this weekend. It's changeable weather. It's
EP weekend, Brian. It's like Wimbledon. It always, always rains on EP weekend, unfortunately.
It never rains in Southern California, but it always rains on EP weekend.
The joy of working with Brian Green.
Explain.
People wonder why I'm so happy, you know. I become mildly saddened on a Thursday, but then I realise it's Friday Eve. I have so much to look forward to.
Explain EP for our non-EP understanding listeners.
Electric Picnic.
That's a music...
A music festival, yes, down in Stradbally in County Laois. We had the brilliant and amazing Davy Phillips, who's the brains behind the green side, I suppose, of Electric Picnic. We had him as a guest on the show a couple of months ago.
Show number 6 back in April.
Wow, that far.
It was, and I'll tell you how I know, because I've just got a couple of minutes of him on today's programme.
Are you going to play it?
We'll play it later, yes.
Oh, we're not playing it now?
Not right now, unless you want it now.
No, I don't. No, well, I don't mind. Davey's a nice guy. But hey, let me give you a good one. I had a note in from the lovely people of Fingal Libraries, Siobhan in there, and she sent me 4 new gardening books that are on their shelves. Now, I've always bought my books like I like to buy my vinyl. That is, I want them for life as versus a magazine for the weekend. However, the 4 new books, The Self-Sufficiency Handbook by Alan and Gil Bridgewater. It's a very, very good one. A practical guide to growing your own organic food, rearing chickens, goats and pigs, and having an eco-friendly home. The Cook's Garden. It's the Australian Women's Weekly have published that one. My personal favourite is the Garden Landscape Manual. Do you remember Haynes?
The car manuals.
Yes. They are starting to do manuals for specific things. Really good library investment books. There was a very good one I bought for a brother of mine. It was the Dad's Manual. And it taught you how to make a swing and how to teach your child. If he asked you about football, you know, it would have a quick research index in there.
I'm not surprised they're doing that because cars are so hard to fix now. They're so computerized that people need to go...
Well, you don't need to fix a car as often as the other thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when I bought my first car, it was every 5,000 miles. Now it's every 10, it's every 15, and they're a little bit more computerized. But the Garden Landscape Manual is, if you were thinking about building slides or a deck or a birdhouse or anything along the lines of, this is the ABC step by step by very, very step guide to doing so. And finally, their last book is the Veggie Gardener's Answer Book, a question and answers format that covers a wide range of topics, from dealing with pests and diseases, advice on soils and composting, to the secrets of success with different vegetables. So there's 4 good books in there that have come out now. And you know, the funny thing is that's 9 books within the last 4 weeks, 9 gardening books new to their collection within the last 4 weeks they've let me know about. So
also coming up on today's programme, it's September and you might have some more time on your hands now that the kids have gone back to school, and we will be talking about what you can put in the soil in September. It's not a month that you can't, there's not a month in the year that you can't work with the soil.
No, there's not a month in the garden that you can't work. is how I would say it. Right. Most people would think it would slow down because the weather's getting a bit bad. That's fine if it's snowing. We shouldn't have that this year. Let me give you a different one. I had a note in from Colette O'Flynn. And Colette is from the, is it Biodiversity Ireland? National Biodiversity Data Centre is where Colette is from. They have a campaign. It's not a campaign as such. It's called Spot the Alien. Not what you might think it to be. This is to do with insects. They need the householders and home dwellers' help in spotting the alien species. They have three in particular that they're looking for. The first is the Harlequin ladybird. You might think the ladybird to be nice and friendly and crawl across your finger, but they need help in spotting them.
Is the Harlequin the one that's photoed on your blog that's kind of a hard-backed looking orange beetle?
Ooh, now, it is a more orange than a more red, but again, what I would say to you is go take a look at the photograph. It's on blog.donaghanlandscaping.com is where you'll find that, and it is the first picture that will come up. The second one, Brian, is the New Zealand flatworm. New Zealand, I say, flatworm. And the third one is the red lily beetle. The red lily beetle is noted here as one that damages the gardener's much-loved lily and fritillary plants, but which is very noticeable by its vibrant red with a black head, legs and antennae. I have to say, the close-up photograph doesn't make it look that nice, but it's the ladybird one where I would be kind of thinking, ooh, ladybird, very pretty.
And they want you to go out in your garden and spot these and photograph them and send them in, is it?
Well, what they're saying is if you can photograph them, do. If you notice what you believe is one of them, just let them know. Again, it's all up there on blog.donaghanlandscaping.com. And finally, Brian, there is a quick note and a quick hello to the gentlemen and ladies of the Eco Store in Ballymun. They had their first customer evening, that I am aware of anyway. They are, the brains behind them is the Rediscovery Centre based in Ballymun. Do you know what they do? You ever heard of them?
They fix bicycles, do they?
Well, one of them is that they refurb bikes. One of them is, they call it Recycle Bike. The second one is that they redesign furniture. So, for example, if you had a table and four chairs and one of the legs broken, one, you decided you wanted to get rid of it, but you didn't want to kill it because maybe it had, like, you know, a bit of history there. You thought maybe somebody else could benefit from it. You get in touch with the Rediscovery
Centre. Have you seen my bicycle?
No.
You did, because you worked on my hedge. And the bike, oh God, the hedge has grown into the bike.
You heard? Yes.
That's my bike.
Okay. Yes.
You cut around it.
But I have to say, on the Rediscovery Centre, the Eco Store in Ballymun, Christmas 2 years ago, I had a table that I got from my sister, and I rang the lads and I said, hi, I've got no chairs. We were on the verge of using two camping chairs for guests that were coming for Christmas dinner. It was like pushing it, you know, timber box, somebody sitting the upside down in the linen basket. That's the way it was kind of heading. And I rang them and I took a furniture, the table that I had, and I brought it in. Six chairs, how much? Reupholstered, repainted, refurbished, refurnished. How much would six chairs cost me, Brian?
50 quid.
30 quid.
Wow.
Six chairs, fully, honest to God, brand spanking new. And you'll find them on www.rediscoverycentre.ie. That's www.rediscoverycentre.ie. Again, I have all of that up on the blog, blog.donaghanlandscaping.com.
Going to go to our first feature, and that is the hard landscaping, okay? So while we're listening to that, you can text us in on 087-977-1032. On Twitter, we're #sodshow if you want to tweet us on Twitter. See how it got all up and...
Tweet us on Twitter? Almost a conundrum.
Yeah. That's what they call it, tweet on Twitter. Although not directly to my phone because of the radiation. We have to turn our phones off here in the studio now. So what we're going to do is, we heard him 2 weeks ago and he gave an intro. It's John from Atfar Construction.
Yes.
And he's going to be telling us all about mixing concrete.
So talking to John Farrell, this is basics. Step number one is actually making your own little bit of concrete. I got mildly confused with the whole mortar concrete bit. We're going to proceed through that as we kind of talk. We'll talk our way out of it, I suppose you might say. Start me off. Where do I start? What do I do? Where do I go?
Okay, Peter. Well, when learning to mix concrete, the most basic principle to grasp is that ratios are important. The amount of cement, aggregates and water that you use in your mix will be mixed by proportion, usually by volume or weight. Nearly as important as the ratios of materials you use is the method in which you mix the materials together. By that I mean you either mix by hand or by a cement mixer. If you're mixing by hand, you can mix on a piece of plywood on the ground or mix it in a wheelbarrow. They are ideal for small jobs. Obviously in a cement mixer if you have a job that's a little bit bigger.
So to give people an idea from your own experience, let's say a concrete in, let's say a washing line, to pick something quite trivial, which is you wouldn't hire...
A mixer, no, correct. You would mix that in a wheelbarrow. So basically you would get your gravel, your cement and your water, put them in the wheelbarrow, have your shovel at hand, give them a good mix around. It's important to get the right consistency and a uniform colour when you're mixing it. So once it's mixed dry, then add your water, mix it thoroughly through. You don't want it too dry, yet you don't want it too wet. So nice and tacky. Once it's mixed, then place it into wherever you want.
A woman described it to me once. A woman I knew who mixed her own concrete described it to me as making brown bread. And exactly the words you said, it's got to be the right consistency, the right level of moisture, it's the right level. I'm going, but it's not a bad analogy, is it?
No, you're correct. You have your ingredients. You need a set amount of each ingredient to make the concrete. So, for example, by mixing concrete by hand for a foundation, you would normally mix at a ratio of 3 to 1. And by that, I mean 3 shovels of gravel to 1 shovel of cement. And then it's mixed till it's a consistent colour. Then you add your water, mix it around with your shovel till it's good and tacky, and then ready to pour.
Is this a case of, you know, you need to kind of know by experience, John? Is that a fair assessment? You know, you're going to get it wrong first time, second time, but third time you'll crack the code.
Yeah, I mean, for people who haven't done it before, you mix it. If it turns out wrong, you'll know by, you put the shovel into it and you can't lift it up, it's too dry. If it falls off the shovel, it's too wet. So
you need the point in the middle.
Correct.
So John, the difference between mixing by hand and using a petrol driven or an electric mixer?
Well, the main difference is, I suppose, is quantities, Peter. If you're doing, for example, a washing line, you just have one hole and your washing line to go in. You know, one mix in a wheelbarrow will be sufficient for that. So therefore, your couple of shovels of gravel and cement mixed up in the barrow is fine. If you're doing a small wall for like a planter area, I would say a mixer would be a lot easier because you will have maybe 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 barrows of concrete. Whilst it's easy maybe to mix by hand one, if you had to do 6 or 7 of them, might be a bit difficult. So that's where I'd recommend, and that would be to hire or borrow a petrol or an electric mixer.
Excellent. And what are the ratios, John, that people need to pay attention to? Again, I just want to get that one home.
For concreting in posts, washing lines, fences, anything like that, even down to foundations, for small walls, a good strong mix would be 3 to 1 or 4 to 1, which would be 3 gravel to 1 cement or 4 gravel to 1 cement. That would be a good strong mix and would be fine for smaller works.
Is there anything else where you'd want to change the ratio in concrete?
On different works, which would be kind of, I suppose, outside the scope of what we're talking, yes. But for what we're talking about at the moment, a 3 to 4 ratio mix would be fine.
And if it does come up during this series of our landscaping sessions, we'll make sure and note the difference in ratio mix. John, just briefly, mortar. What is it used for? What should I use it for? And what's the ratios?
Okay, Peter. A mortar is used for basically building walls, laying patios. It's basically a mix of sand, cement and water. It differs from concrete, as we discussed earlier, from the fact that it's a sand that's used. So the mix that you would use for mortar for building blocks or bricks would normally be between a 5 or 6 to 1 ratio of sand to cement. Also, for building blocks, you would normally add a thing called plasticizer, which adds air into it and makes it easier to work with.
I've heard people say to me that you can use washing up liquid instead.
That's correct. Only a drop, mind you. A small drop added to water increases the workability of the mortar. You'll find bricklayers love it because the more they put in, the easier it is to work with. But there's a downside to that. If you put too much in, it can weaken the mortar. So you only put in literally a small drop into the water, and it makes such a significant difference to the workability of the mortar. It sticks to the bricks or the blocks a lot easier.
Excellent. John Farrell from Atrafar Construction, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure.
Thanks very much, Peter.
Parkconstruction.ie. Yeah,
Park. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m. Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM. I think you heard Peter chatting away to me there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's fine because we're live and this is radio. So if you want to text us, the number is 087-977-1032. That was John from Atfar Construction. And we'll have John back over the next couple of weeks with various things that happen in the garden that are considered hard landscaping. So
yeah, well, I think there was a point this week where, again, on the blog at DonaghanLandscaping.com, like, I was working with timber and I was making grow your own raised beds. But the bit with John is to start, I think, from, you now know the various mixes to make your own concrete. We want to get to the point where you can lay a few blocks, where you can build a barbecue, and then slowly and hopefully we'll progress to the point where we get to, you know, even advice on going and buying a drill so you can put up your own hanging basket brackets, etc., and maybe on to a little bit of timber work after that. We'll see.
Now, 2 weeks ago you said that Brian will, you know, be asking what's this gravel and cement and plasticizer and stuff, and I have to correct you because I have a background in civil engineering, consulting engineering. I used to be a reinforcement concrete detailer and steel detailer.
Oh my god,
that was my job. Oh. So what I'm going to say is, if you think that you can't mix concrete for yourself for a little small job in the back garden, you're wrong. You can. It's quite simple. And you can get the ready mix bags down in the DIY place, and it's got the right mix of stuff, and you just put them together and, you know, shovel it in. It's quite easy to do. And a little bit of washing up liquid, you're dead right. It does work. It makes it kind of a nice...
Not a lot.
...texture of... you know, sludge to move around on the shovel.
We've just started texting noting carbon emissions and concrete. Yes, that is something we will be taking up on the show in time to come. However, whether we like it or not, people do go out and build their own and make their own things and ask landscapers to put down paving. So, you know, fair's fair, horses for courses. We'll deal with both sides of the story as we come through the show.
Have you had enough concrete?
I have indeed. However,
we have a pun with our song of the week. It's got to be about gardening. So this is Unit 4 Plus 2, Concrete and Clay.
You to me are sweet as roses in the morning. And you to me are soft as summer rain at dawn in lovely shade. That's something rare. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. That's the way, that's the way it's meant to be. All around, I see the purple shades of evening. And on the ground, shadows fall, and once again you're in my arms. So tenderly, the sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains crumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. And that's the way, that's the way it's meant to be. The sidewalks in the street, the concrete and the clay beneath my feet begins to crumble. But love will never die, because we'll see the mountains tumble before we say goodbye. My love and I will be in love eternally. That's the way it's meant to be. That's the way, that's the way it's meant to be. Oh, that's the way.
103.2 Dublin City FM, Unit 4 plus 2 from the 60s, and their song Concrete and Clay, because we're doing concrete in a landscaping setting today. Setting?
Yeah, for God's sake. Yes. Let's go straight from concrete to something a little bit softer and a little bit more rock and roll. We had Dundarry House on the show last week. This weekend is Electric Picnic. We did note on the interview we did with Davey Phillips. Just want to give you a quick little flashback, little taster of what we had 20-odd weeks ago.
Well, Electric Picnic has got a sort of unique audience. It's not the Tea in the Park, Oxygen-type festival of just people, young people getting absolutely out of their face. There's all sorts of people there. It's like Glastonbury. You see grandparents there with the grandkids, all sorts of people. And I think it's an opportunity to get out of your normal everyday environment and to be creative and to let go a little. You know, that's, I think, the purpose of a festival. Mm-hmm. Is to have a different environment, to have a altered state, if you like, without any enhancements, but just to have an environment that facilitates that difference. So people going down there and being creative and dressing up, and it's not like just going to a gig in the Point or the O2. It's something different about that environment. It's a different way of life for a couple of days. So does it, as you ask, is it something that they continue when they go back? Probably not, but it's a taster of a different way of living. You know, you're close to the land, you're camping. Think of the environmental impact that you're not having by not putting your hairdryer on, watching 6 hours of TV, and doing all the things that you do in your normal environment. You come down to Stradbally Estate, a wonderful estate, for 3 days, and you're not consuming all that energy, you're not consuming all that, creating all that waste. You know, I think there's something in that that people forget when they're looking at just the impact of the festival is, what is the impact that these people are having in their normal everyday life? Ooh, I made it to the grapevine, and I'm
just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, yeah. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
That was Davey Phillip from cultivate.ie talking to us about approximately 21 weeks ago, I think it was, Brian, about the green side and all things green at Electric Picnic. But we do have coming up September 3rd to the 25th. It is the Spirit of Folk Festival.
23rd to 25th.
23rd to the 25th. It's the Spirit of Folk Festival, spiritoffolk.com, down in Dundarry House. We were there.
Last Thursday.
We visited.
You were there, listeners, last Friday.
That would be correct. That would be correct. The one thing that struck me about it, Brian, was the cairn that we spoke about. It was the lake. It was the water. It seemed to be like a more family-orientated version of... A more family-orientated version of EP.
And a more chilled sort of setting.
Yeah. I think the fact that they have a cap on 1,000 people as the limit... as versus what would be about 30,000-35,000 for EP.
You can check them out, spiritoffolk.com.
Hey, can we talk gardens?
We can talk gardens, because last week we didn't talk gardens, and the week before we had L.O. Andy
Gaffney.
We haven't done much on gardens. So it is September, isn't it? The night's getting shorter and it's getting a little bit colder, but does that restrict what you can do in the garden come September?
Not on your Nelly, Brian. That is the scientific answer to all things gardening in the cold, or potential cold.
Can you give me 5 things you can put in the ground in September?
Hey, I tell you what I did last year. I put a video up on my blog, and I had a video in February of my daffodils in full whack, and I put a sign at the top of them saying, do you remember Roadrunner? Meep, meep. Mm-hmm. Free seed, please take some. Free daffodils. That's how many I'd grown on the far side of my ditch. And bearing in mind, I live in Ballybohol, which is Old Emmerdale Farm County. However, the top five bulbs that I would recommend that you could plant in your garden, if you would like some in your garden for next year, now is the time to go and plant them. They are, number one, the tulip. Number two has to be the daffodil. Number three is the crocus. Number four is the iris. Number five, hyacinth. The first bulb I ever bought when I was 6 years of age, it cost me 17 pence, almost 2 weeks pocket money. And my personal favourites, the Allium, A-L-L-I-U-M, they are members of the onion family. If you want one and you really want to pin me on it, it's the Allium Rosen Bacanium. Allium Rosen Bacanium, that's the one I will give you. They are available to buy now. Go do it, please, and pretty up the Irish January, February gardens.
Does gardening have, it has a calendar, but do you intrinsically know it, or do you refer to it? How do you know when is right to put something different in the ground?
It's a bit like tree planting season is on the horizon come October, potentially November. But there's also a point where, you know, you might say it's dormant tree season. I say when the leaves are gone off the trees. So that's by sight. But you need a calendar, as in, you know, about October, November. That's the guiding it.
So you bulb your daffodils and your tulips now. When are you going to see them?
Probably about Jan, Feb, they'll start popping up. The beauty about the daffs is if you do give your grass the final cut in a couple of weeks' time, maybe 2 weeks' time, you can plant the bulbs below the grass. The daffs will come up through the lawn. And then when it comes to giving the grass its first cut, the daffs should be on their way back down again. You'll see this done very much en masse in my garden. You'll also see it in places like Ardgill and Newbridge House. It's done extremely well out there.
They're playing our music.
Hey, quickly, five seeds. Get yourself a little bit of grow your own for the September, October, November Christmas table. Cabbage, peas, onions and sprouts. That's what I'm going to be trying for. Cabbage, peas, onions and sprouts. Do watch the date of sowing guide on the seed packets.
We'll cover that in more detail next week. Thanks for listening from The Sod Show. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.